This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
And welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Corpus Christi. Check in with old Cliff Webb this morning. Captain Cliff, what's going on, man?
Hey, Mickey. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. Tell me something.
School started, and it really got, it's like a ghost town now. I kind of like it. It's golly.
I bet you do, man. You got your neighborhood back.
Oh, my God. It's just, there was so many people here in the summer, and you know, just Corpus is just not ready. You know, we're just, for all the people, they don't have enough of anything. You know, it's just, we don't have enough water for them, for one thing.
Well, that's true.
They took them 3 years to get the model built to do this desalination plant. So we're looking at 10 years out, they're saying.
Yeah.
So it's just stupid. You know, they're trying to buy water from everywhere, and they just, it's just a joke, you know. So that's what's going on here. Everybody's so mad at them. They just can't get nothing done. It's unbelievable. But anyway.
Life in America.
Good, Mickey. It's a time of the year where the beach fishing and the bay fishing and the dove hunting's getting ready to start. So it's a really neat time of year. I like it.
Well, somebody threw a video up yesterday or day before. I can't remember, of Packery Channel. It was air clear, man. That water was gorgeous.
You wouldn't believe the fish were seeing. Oh, my God. The cool thing is there's probably about 10 or 15 guys on the end of the jetties with big, giant crocodile spoons catching these giant kingfish every day. They're limited out on kingfish on the jetties.
Amazing.
I mean, big kingfish, like 15, 20 pounds. I don't know how big, you know, that. That's, it's a good-sized kingfish. There's long leg, you know, dragging them.
Right.
But it's the other day, this guy raised back and hit this guy with one of those spoons.
Uh-oh.
And almost knocked him out. I couldn't believe it. You know, they carried him off the rocks. But
oh, that's a skullcracker right there, them big crocodiles.
Oh, lucky didn't hit him in the head. You know, I think it hit him in the back or something. But, boy, it took him out.
Lord.
Ooh, that back swing right there can get you. But,
yeah,
man, the surf's been crazy good. And we went from all that wind in the spring, couldn't fish the surf. And we missed some of the best surf fishing when those fish were in there spawning and stuff because – just couldn't get in there because of the wind.
Right.
And then, of course, it's calm. You're dealing with high water temperatures, real clear water. You know, they're hard to catch that live bait. But my buddy Greg and Steve, they follow one down the beach. It's 30 inches just right there in, you know, knee-deep water, following for 50 yards through everything, through gulps at him, through Little John's, through paddle tails. He just totally snogged them. And that fish turned around while they're watching it and kind of went out deep and attacked a school of mullet right in front of him. Like, you know, it's like it wasn't that he's not eating. It's just not eating what you're throwing.
You know? Exactly.
You know, it's just, that's just crazy. But Laguna Madre's been good. I'm catching lots of fish in Laguna. I had a trip with some guys. They're down here on their bachelor party. And four of them, just really good fishermen. I fished with them quite a bit. And man, we just got into just tons of fish with the, the big fish were snobbing us so bad. We catch all these little fish out deep, you know, up to 20 inches or maybe 21, 22. Nice fish on plastic and top water.
Yeah.
And then we look up on the shore, Mickey, and all of a sudden we see these big old spotted tails sticking up. I mean, like right on the beach, you know, and they're not drummed. So we'd ease over there. And the cool thing was the tide has been so low, and they're kind of these little dips and stuff along the shore. And they're inside these big grass beds, and this grass is probably 6 or 7 inches long, and they got their head down in that grass.
Huh.
And you talk about hard for them to see a bait. I mean, I'd pull those guys up there and cock the boat sideways, and everybody just make perfect casts and just roll it right in front of her nose. And then I think RJ threw a trout support in there, you know, and that trout support usually is perfect in that real heavy structure like that.
Right.
And I mean, roll that sucker right in front of her head and twitch it. And she never even saw it. And finally it touched her and she spooked out. But man, those fish with their head down, I don't know what they're doing. Their tails are up, Mickey. And they
ostrich
got both
mode.
Their eyeballs. Yeah, they got their dang eyeballs covered up in that grass and just their tails sticking up. And just make a man crazy try to get them. You know, I had Bobby on the fly rod here, I guess, a couple of weeks ago in there trying to get him on a fly. And he finally hooked two. I told you about that. And he had the wrong kind of fly, a weedless, and they pulled out. But he's still cussing himself over that. You know, he says, why did I change hooks? Yeah, I never use those hooks. And I go down with Cliff and did a bait, and I change hooks, worried about all the weeds, and then I don't get my fish, you know.
Well, these fish drive a man crazy.
It will drive you crazy. But, you know, I fished, I guess, on Tuesday. I never saw another boat. I mean, maybe one boat down there coastal, but the whole bay is just a ghost town.
I know. That's the way it was for me Tuesday when I fished. I saw one other fishing boat, and it was somebody I knew, and I think I saw one other one running from point A to point B, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It was a ghost town.
Yeah, you still got your croaker fishermen at 37. You still got a half a dozen of those guys fishing, you know.
Right.
But and before you couldn't even get into 37 because they get there at 3 o'clock with their buckets and they got to get all that bait and water in their boats. And it's just like a bucket brigade for hours. You just can't get in there.
Bucket brigade.
Oh, it's just stupid. I've never seen so many buckets. I mean, like there's 50 buckets full of green toilet water, putting them in their boat, you know, with those little croakies. But it's all right. But you're trying to be a lure fisherman, trying to get your guys loaded up or all that stuff. You know, I just want to get out there and get in the water, you know.
Yeah, you just want to get in and get gone, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, in that first day we fished those guys, I said, hey, man, we got a little wind this morning. Let's make a drift through this flat and just see if they're here before we pile out. Man, my guy had a toad on. God almighty, I can't believe this fish got off. It's one of the little peanut Mansfield knockers, I think they call it. It was like a peanut.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man, that trout just, the hollow sound was unreal. He smoked it out the boat. He's bowed up. He's got the fish. And I don't know why that fish come off. We were just going, God, what a way to start the day. That was like the first fish. You know, just kind of let the air out of the balloon. Like, God, man. But it wasn't enough big ones in there. Just fish in there. So we pulled the plug on there, and I'm glad we did. We moved farther south, and, you know, we probably caught 80 to 100 fish, you know. But the deal is, it was just like we've been doing, Mickey, just tons of those smaller fish, you know. And I'm not complaining. We had some 18, 20s in there, but we just not closing the deal on the bigger fish this week. It's just crazy how lethargic they've come. You know, they just
well, you're
not
on the
really
backside of that moon and everything. Yeah. Conditions aren't favorable for the big bite right now, but they will be here shortly.
Yeah, I'm thinking this coming week, like you say, the winds are down this week, and I'm hoping it's going to be a little better.
Yeah, you'll get some good bites leading up to that new moon.
Mm-hmm. But the tarpon fishing is just stupid. All the videos of tarpon I'm getting, just everybody catching the heck out of tarpon.
I know, but it's tarpon craze right now.
It's tarpon season, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm seeing all kind of pictures of people catching them on the beach, you know, in the bay. They caught one at Batham this week.
Right.
About a 40-pounder, you know. It is so good to see our water quality staying as good as it is. We've got a little bit of brown tide up around Bird Island and stuff. We've got about maybe 5 or 6 miles of really dirty brown water, but that'll move. It has kind of got stagnant in there right now. But, you know, I was listening to James a while ago. Y'all had a big bunch of water. That means we're going to have water this morning. So I'm going to go look at it this morning. We should have a good flush of water.
Yeah, I was hoping y'all would get a ton of that rain off that system, but it didn't happen for you. What a drag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nuts now. It looks so good coming. It just turned, just went right into Mexico.
Man, oh, it hung a left, didn't it? It just went in.
It hung a left. We were counting on something on that, you know. I'm going to try to go out today, and I think Fred's at the deer lease today, and he's putting timers in, and he's been mowing out there, so I think I'll probably go out today, and I'll probably do a little surfing this morning, and the surf's up, and maybe try to get my grandkids to surf a little bit with me, then maybe head out to the deer lease and hope we got a few clouds out there, because Fred was out there last week and he took a picture.
It's been hot.
Yeah, his thermometer was 118 degrees an hour.
Yeah, it's hot down there, man. Right. People don't realize how hot it gets down there in deep South Texas on them ranches, man.
God, it just like burn your face, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Brutal.
You know? Yeah, it's but of course it's August, you know. And what's so crazy about this year that we had those super low tides, Mickey, and that nighttime cooling, we didn't get those fish up on the sand like we normally do as much because it wasn't as many areas. Before, when we got a high tide, we got tons of those flats that are white sand, and those fish will pull up there in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of fishing edges. So I'm thinking this little storm with this water back up, maybe I got a trip money, maybe those fish will be back up in that sand because, man, that's fun to catch them in the sand when you can see them.
Yeah, if you can get that water pushed in there down your way, it takes forever to get rid of it. So that'd be a big plus for you, bull them up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I know it. But I know the surf fish is just, there's so many fish coming from down south, like toward Mansfield. I'm seeing all these great pictures and stuff. And it's not that the fish aren't there. It's just there's so much bait in the water. I mean, you get in that first gut in the morning, Mickey, there's everything in that gut you can imagine. There's shad, there's mullet, there's shrimp popping out of the water, and there's giant skipjack as long as your leg in there.
Ooh.
There's jackfish, you know, there's big old jacks in there, so you got to kind of weed through there and try to get you a couple of trout out of there. So I kind of like to wait, you know, this time a year till 9 or 10 o'clock when I can sight cast those trout. If I could just get them to eat, that's the problem.
That's,
you know,
the big
just
problem
to get them to eat. Yeah, you know,
it's, you know, the same thing happens up here, though. You know, when our surf gets real, real clean like that, the first couple of days, the lure fishermen do real well, and then after that, it's hard to catch them. The live baiters do way better.
Yeah, I know it. I used to chase them in the old days, just take a live shrimp and put it on a rod and flip a live shrimp out of them. It's like a grizzly bear after a mouse. They don't turn it down. They like that kind of stuff. You know?
That ain't no joke. All right.
You know.
Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back at
all right,
you,
buddy.
Hang
all
on.
Right,
all right. BigCashSnapper.com. The Big Cash Snapper Tournament's wrapping up its first annual series, and they're having a free entry snapper tournament. That's right. No entry fee. Fish anywhere along the Texas coast on Friday, September 5th from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. and bring your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda on Saturday, the next day, on the 6th, by 6 p.m. First place, with a no-entry fee, $5,000. Second place, $2,500. Third place, $1,500. And they'll have side pots available for Big Snapper, King, Ling, and Dorado. So then, after you weigh in, join in for food, live music, and fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. Details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 619. All right, Cliff, we are back, my friend.
All right, buddy. You know, I'm anxious to see if that water is up on the beach today. It should be with that little storm. But, you know, usually when those things go in like that, it drops real fast. So I may have missed that high tide in the middle of the night. So usually when that water bows up, that beach fishing gets good.
Yes.
But, we're going to go check it out. Then I'm going to go to the deer lease, and I think Fred's out there changing timers and doing some stuff. I'm going to go out there and Alice and see how long I can take the heat.
Always something to do at them deer leases, man.
Oh, it's just never ending, you know, and I hadn't been out there enough, but we had a lot of rain at the right time out there, and our white wing are like you've never seen. It's just like crazy amount of white wing.
Yes.
I love this place for white wing, Alice. So the first two weekends of white wing season, it's just we're done in 45 minutes. There's so many birds. It's crazy. Then you shoot at them, and they all go to the city limits in Alice.
They go to they roost. Hang out. Go to the neighborhoods,
they go,
man.
They go to the neighborhoods.
Backyard feeders.
Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing. But in my backyard, you know, I'm seeing several little young white wings, you know, where they just had another hatch. So I think we're on our second hatch, too, here. I know that Blaine's talking about having double hatches in the valley. I think we're the same thing here. There's just bunch of the birds.
Man.
Which is so good. I just love that, being able to fish and dove hunt in the afternoon. Man, it don't get no better than that. God,
no, it doesn't.
I had to take a shotgun in, so I shoot all these different shotguns, and one of my very favorite ones that I got from old Mike Gregor at the Johnny Sports Shots many about 30 years ago is a little over and under Browning 20 gauge, and I just love this thing. It shoots so good. And the last time I went with Barry up to Laredo, I pull that front trigger and both barrels go off. I go, man, that was a shocker.
Uh-oh.
And I can't figure it out, maybe because it recocks it from the recoil. So how's it doing that? So I took it in the gun shop about a month ago, and I hadn't heard back from them. So I hope they get it back, because I really don't want to shoot a 12-gauge. I like to shoot in that 20 or... And 410 is just too expensive. You can't, you know, it's just crazy.
I know, and I love shooting 410s, but, yeah.
I know. There's something about the smell of that powder, like what reminds you when you're a kid. You know, there's something about the smell of a 410 powder that's just different, man. Like I said, I got my grandson one. He's getting ready to turn 9, and I got my first 410 when I was 9, so I can't wait to see how he likes that.
Man, I wish I had a dollar for every time I pulled a trigger on a 410 back in the day. Good Lord.
Yeah, that was great, man. They drop us off at Grandma's house or something out in the woods, and we get a couple boxes of 410 shells, and we shot everything we saw.
You know,
and my grandma was real bad.
Shooting that 410, you're going, man, I can't wait till I can shoot a 12-gauge.
Yeah, right. Gosh.
And now that we're older, we're going backwards again.
Back to the 410, like, you know.
Those mule kickers and go down to 20s and 28s and 410s. And
I'm so impressed that 28-gauge. I got a lot of my friends shoot the 28-gauge. That is a great load, man.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys that shoot those. Blaine don't like them when a quail hunter show up with them. He said they
because they don't kill the bird.
Quail. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I like the 12s on the quail. You know, people don't realize how tough a quail is.
I'm going with a 12.
I just cannot believe how tough a quail is. It's amazing.
They are. They're pretty tough.
They're a tough bird, buddy. Golly. I'm hoping that Blaine's got a bunch of birds this year. I'd like to get down and try to shoot some quail. I haven't shot quail.
He does right now. He went down the other day and looked around, and he still got a lot of grass. It's turning brown, though, with all this heat and no rain. But he's had double, triple hatches on everything, quail and dove. So
I'm interested to see how Blaine does down there with all the people gone walking across this ranch, all the immigrants coming in and all that stuff. I think it's really going to change
the game. That's going to be a game changer.
I think you're going to see a lot more big bucks.
You can't imagine how many hunts were ruined in the last 4 or 5 years by walkthroughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those deer they do not like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the human scent just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's why Blaine, he's so adamant about it. He tells his guys, "Hey, we drop you off in the stand. Do not get out of it. You know, unless you have a bathroom emergency.
Huh?
But you know, go to the bathroom right there. And and if you do drop a deer, don't get out of the stand. Wait till we get there and we drive down there in the truck and pick it up. Don't walk down there and admire your deer and all that and leave your scent all over the place."
Well, people do that too, man.
They do. You tell them, and they do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I know.
They get in trouble.
And those deer are so smart about that, man.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I put
well
a guy
not even hunt that stand for the next 4 or 5 days. Just leave it alone.
We were trying to hunt a big buck on the Kennedy. Most of our stuff on the Kennedy series so far in King Ranch, I hunted with a lot of driving and glass and stuff, but.
Right.
We had some stands set up, especially in bow season, around the water holes, because these bucks would chase those does and chase them, and sometime in December it'd be 85 degrees, and they get hot, and
right.
they're going to come to water. They're going to come to
Bet
water.
They are.
So we'd set up these stands, and I'd slip in there and put this guy in a bow stand, and as I'm driving away, I'm seeing him climbing down to go to the bathroom, walk around the pond and look. I go, dude, you know, you just messed it up, because when I put you in that truck and we just step out of the truck and step in that stand, you're not setting stuff up, especially in rubber boots with scent lock. You're not doing too much. But when you get out and start looking around the pond and doing all that stuff, man, those deer are so smart. They know you've been there, buddy. Mm. They know you've been there. You know, so it changed a lot. But, boy, I look back at some of those pictures, Mickey, some of those beautiful deer we shot. Oh, my God, that place was something else for the tine length of the deer in that area are just beautiful. We got those long Kennedy and King Ranch long tines, you know, 12, 16 inches long, some of those tines. Just
I love tine length. It's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. The thing we missed was mass, because we didn't have the wahia. We didn't have some of the stuff we needed.
Right,
you know,
the nutrients you needed for the mass.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, just didn't have the mass. But, boy, the natural stuff is just really pretty. Yeah,
the genetics were good. You just didn't have it, right protein for them.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if Blaine had an unbelievable deer last year. A season last year Blaine had was unbelievable. I'm hoping he hasn't.
Hell of a season last year.
He got that big old buck himself, man. I'm so glad he got that. But I'm hoping he's going to have horns this year because they had some good rains, Mickey, at the right time.
Oh, they did. You know? And I think he's going to have some really good deer. I mean, I watched so many nice 3.5 to 5 year old deer walking around. They were carrying a pretty good head on them, you know, had some really nice racks. It just, I couldn't bring myself to shoot them. They were too young. And this year they'll be a lot more mature and hopefully bigger too.
Yeah.
You know, most of the customers, they don't age the deer. They just see a big rack and they shoot it. Whether it's a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, it, you know. But that's what they're paying for. If that's, you know, if that's their personal best and it's a great deer for them to put on the wall, more power to them. But
it's hard to pull somebody off a deer that's the best they've ever seen, and they're paying for the hunt. And, you know, it's just hard. But you know, if you're on a place where you got the right kind of hunters, you can really manage it. You know, it's just some of the older, experienced hunters that's already killed a nice deer, they can wait. But you take the younger guys that really haven't killed a good deer, it's hard. And on most deer leases, you got 10 or 12 people, whatever. You're going to have 3 or 4 of those guys that are just trigger happy. They're just going to shoot
their
deer.
They want meat on the ground, baby.
Yes, sir. And you're going to have that in almost every lease. And the problem is all your deer are roaming to everybody else's feeder. So you can save your deer and say, hey, man, we're going to wait till next year. He's a 10-point, but he's only 4.5. He's probably going to walk over to your buddies and they're going to shoot him. I know that's what happens to our place. You know, we get some nice 4.5.
Yeah, he'll show up at another stand, especially during the rut when they're running does, and he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. There's some of those guys. These guys are going to shoot him no matter what, man. He's done. But anyway, it's nuts. I think we're going to have
our trout fishery, you know, if you kill all your 20 to 25 inch fish, you won't have any 28 to 32 inch fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what's so crazy about our trout system right now is the number of fish we have making every single spot. So in one day, I fished 9 different spots. Every time I put the Jolimar down, we're catching fish. It's a matter of finding the size of fish. And what I'm finding out is there's big fish everywhere, but there's so many little fish around them that's beating them to the punch, especially after 9 or 10 o'clock when that water starts warming up and these big fish have fed at night and they fed early in the morning, you're just not going to catch them. You can throw at them all you want, you know. And when if you do catch one, it's got a bunch of stuff in its stomach. The amount of 14-inch trout, I don't think I've ever seen this many, Mickey. When you reel a fish in, there's 5 or 6 fish follow it in. I mean, that's a lot of fish, Mickey.
Yeah,
it's like a bass pond. It's like a bass pond, you know, when you throw a spinnerbait out there and you catch a little fish, there's 5 or 6 of them following it because the pond's overcrowded. I'm just thinking, man, I don't know how many fish we got or what happened there. We must have the most perfect weather for a pond because the 14 to 17-inchers are incredible. The guys at 37 are saying, man, you know, we're catching 5 or 6 little ones and catch a 20, 25-incher, but they can't keep up. When they throw Kroger's out, they said all three, everybody's bowed up at one time. It's that fast. It's just like, oh, my God, you know. So you know there's a lot of fish. Now the Kroger's are getting real big. They're 8, 9, 10 inches long, so the guys are going to piggies, and that's getting ready to go out the window, and they're going to have to go back to shrimp, you know, which is all good because they do eat shrimp, but.
Well, I mean most of the if I was a bait fisherman down there, that's all I'd throw. I mean,
no, the shrimp is incredible.
You got a 5-inch slot and a 3-inch, you know, three fish maximum. I mean, why not just throw shrimp? I mean, you're going to get your 3. Good Lord.
Yeah, my son does that a lot. He does a lot of double trips, one in the morning. Then a lot of construction companies will hire him after 5:30, and they'll go out and fish till dark. And He said, Dad, I do better on popping cork and shrimp. He says, it's solid action. I catch everything, drum, reds, trout, and we're not anchored up. It's cooler drifting. He's doing better in the afternoons with the wind up. You got a little southeast wind. You can drift across these flats with a popping cork, and you're going to find some fish. So I'm seeing a lot of people going back to the shrimp since the croakers and piggies are getting so big.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all we used to have, Mickey, was shrimp. I mean, back when we fished bait, there was no such thing unless you got cast net and caught mullet or finger mullet. That's what we all made livings on when we first started guiding 45, 50 years ago, you know, when we had the tourists and the tourist season, we just got a quart of shrimp. Game over.
Right. Do Do people still use those push nets down there, get out and push nets to catch shrimp?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was something else. They've got a new one now you drag behind you. It's like a miniature shrimp net. Everybody's using those. Have you seen those?
Nuh-uh.
Unbelievable. So you tie it around your waist, Mickey, and it's got two little doors that open, and you pull this thing about 10 foot long behind you and just fills up with shrimp.
Well,
and you open a little
Navy
crack
SEAL
in the back
training right there, buddy.
Yeah,
walking in the water.
You better be in good shape. It's not for the weak, let me tell you.
It's like a guy I knew. He took tied his Rottweiler to a telephone pole, would chain it to it and make him drag it around the yard, and we wanted to move around and stuff. That dog looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger after about a year of that. He was muscling that dog up. I'm not going to name any names, but it was hilarious.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That dog was, you talk about strong.
Stout,
had a chest on him. That was big time. I laugh every time I think about that.
Oh, I used to laugh at my hog dog guy. He professionally caught hogs with dogs. And all those dogs had a big old thick chain they drug around the yard. I kept wondering, it makes them strong, but those dogs were muscled up, buddy. Man, they were muscled up.
Yeah, this guy had a big giant chain on it like I'd put on a bulldozer and had it tied to a chainsawed a telephone pole, about a 10-foot chunk of it.
Yeah. Said, I have guys use leaders like that on, like a 50-pound leader, and it's kind of like the it's when the old days the live bait couldn't move because it's got so much leader,
Yeah, we're going rabbit hunting with a 30-odd six.
Yeah,
All right. Let me do this quick break, Cliff. Hang on. I'll get some more laughs out of you. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Shows, 6:37. All right, Cliff, we are back, my friend.
All right, Mickey. Hey, well, last Friday I was listening to you and the guys over there, Harmon, the guys talking about the guy that got beat up, the kid that got beat up and hit him in the head.
Oh, yeah, Kai from Galveston.
Anything ever come of that, man? Anything ever come of that?
Well, I think so. I think they might be close to catching the guy that did that.
That's just... I was listening to that Friday.
Can you
I didn't
believe
I
that? I mean,
Seriously. I didn't want to say anything to you Saturday. I was so bummed out. I said, man, really, people? Golly, come
well,
on.
Well, I normally don't go off topic and get into things
it
like
was,
that. But,
it was sad.
You know, something had to be said about it. That was just outrageous.
You, yeah, that was. That was so sad that he had one little, you know, outlet there and enjoyed the fish that much, and somebody had to ruin that for him. So I hope he comes back from that. I mean, I hope the guy that comes back from that and he still wants to fish, you know.
Yeah, that was his escape. You know, he's an autistic young man, and there's just no sense in that. Whether he's autistic or not, there's no place in that in fishing. Seriously,
that's really amazing. I know, I couldn't believe
and
that.
All he did, all he did was pick up the rod and reel that was laying on the bank of there to look at it. He was just looking at it, standing there looking at it. He was going to put it back down. He wasn't going to take it. It wasn't his.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's
and
that
then
was
the guy beats
right
the crap
there,
out of him and then steals all of his stuff.
Now that's supposed to kicker is steal his stuff too. Like,
oh,
man.
Boy.
But I hope they catch him, man. And I hope the main thing is I hope he still fishes. Golly.
Galveston PD is on it, and
good
that's off to them when they cuff that guy up and take him to jail.
I hope so too, Biggie. Anyway, I get off that subject, but it really bothered me. I didn't want to say anything about it last Saturday because I could tell it really bothered you.
Fine.
It really got you good, man.
Stuff like that upsets me. I mean, I just can't believe there's people like that in the fishing community. I mean,
there's not many,
the
Mickey.
There's not many. That's just one bad apple that just ruins it for everybody.
You know, we've gone through hundreds of people, and mostly the people that I did, they're just wonderful people in the outdoors. So there's a few of them out there like any other deal, you know, but just got to weed those ones out. But anyway, I'll get off that subject, but just wanted to, I was just curious to find out. I was just hoping they call
I mean, all the fishing trips I've run in my lifetime, and I've only had maybe a couple of people over all those years and that many trips that I would just like to send to the moon. Put them in a spacewalk.
Oh, God. I remember Takata one time. He had somebody in the boat he did not get along with. I said, "But Chicano, what'd you do?" He says, "Well, I wanted to push him over, but I just took him back." I'm so glad, Chicano, you decided to take him back in to push him over, you know. He got some guy from New York City that just wore him out. And Chicano was not the guy to take a lot of stuff, you know, so he just took him back to dock, you know. But, that's what I love about Mexico. When you get on a boat, you pay first. You know, that's the difference between American here. So in Mexican chartos, you pay them first, you know.
Right.
They're going to get their money. No matter if their boat breaks down or sinks, they're going to get their pay that day, you know. That was sort of crazy. I'm looking at the weather. So next week I'm hoping these guys that work in the offshore get to fish next week because, man, they had a hard spring. You know, I know Shark, you know those guys, they had a hard spring with all this wind and stuff. So now they're finally getting some calm weather to go offshore. But that's what's tough of being outdoors. I mean, offshore capping is the weather just kills you.
It's just you have your windows and you have to seize the opportunity when you get them, just like tarpon fishing, same thing.
And, you know, you look at Florida and Mexico, they don't have that all the time like we've got. They've got a lot more areas they can fish when it's windy.
Well, sure.
It doesn't seem to be as windy. You know, Florida seems like they fish all the time offshore. It's nuts.
Well, yeah, especially the Gulf side because that's where the predominant wind comes from. It's calm on that Gulf side all the way down. Now, the Atlantic
you look at all
side,
those pictures,
that's another
and it's
thing. Just, it's kind of like we are with the Gulf over here,
But man, I saw that picture of Sharky swordfish. That is a good picture. That one in the water he's got, that is a great picture.
Yeah, where it was coming out of the water. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really something, man. That's something. And then I get back to the Cameron catching that fantasy slam. I've talked to several people. They never even knew that a fantasy slam existed. You know, that was like a different world there.
Before that, there was only three ever recorded on the whole globe. And that's
on the whole globe. Not just in the
anybody's
not
ever heard
America.
Of.
Okay. Not just in the Gulf of America, but everywhere. Okay.
Everywhere. Golly. Yeah. That's just an incredible feat to do that in one day of fishing, you know?
Yeah. A spearfish is what he called it. It looks kind of like a blue marlin, right?
Yeah, it looks like a little billfish. Yeah, like a baby blue.
God, I was wanting to look that up and see what they look like, but man, that's something. But to go out and get a swordfish after that, that's just stupid crazy. God.
I'll see if I can find that picture of it, and I'll send you a picture of that spearfish.
Yeah, that's nuts right there, man. But so does Cameron just stay in Costa Rica most of the time, or is he in the Gulf much, or?
Yeah, he's running a boat out of Port Aransas, you know, that he's captain of for Rod.
Okay. Yeah. I was always hearing stories about him in Costa Rica and
the SEMA.
And James talking
is the boat
about
he runs,
yeah.
You know, SEA-MAH, SEMA.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't trout fish at all. He's just strictly offshore all year long.
Yeah. No, he trout fishes when he's back here in the winter. You know, he'll do some trout trips and stuff. Fish with.
I never hear much about him just offshore. I was just wondering if he fishes the bay. You know,
no, he's a plog man. Nothing never falls far off the tree, buddy.
that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Yeah, I'm hoping that Plog will have a little better weather next week for his tarpon. I'm seeing some great videos online on the tarpon. It's just amazing how many we've got. It's all up and down the coast, too. You can just see them from Port O'Connor all the way to
Southwater. There's so many more people fishing for them now.
That's what it is. That's why you're getting all the social media.
Right.
That's why you're getting all the pictures.
We've always had the tarpon. You just didn't have all the people out there running them like you do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. I heard a ding. You must have sent me a picture.
Yeah, I did. I sent you a picture of that spearfish.
Yeah, that is wild looking. Golly, man.
Isn't that
cool? I wonder if they're good to eat.
I don't know.
Now, do they keep those fish to get a fantasy claim?
If Chicano was still alive, you could ask him. I'm sure he's eating them.
I'm sure he's eating them. He's eating everything out there, man. So is on the fantasy claim, do you kill the fish or do you photograph them or how does that work?
I'm sure it's a catch, photograph, and release deal just to prove you caught
it. Okay. Yeah, that's what a lot of that stuff is. They hardly, every once in a while they have a kill deal on the billfish, but most of that stuff is all videoed and released, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
We're
seeing that. There's so many trout tournaments right now that are doing that. We've got a bunch of tournaments now this weekend that people are fishing down in South Padre and Port Mansfield and Port Aransas. Mm-hmm. This is amazing how many tournaments are going on right now. And a lot of those fish are photographed and leased. Then you have the deal where it's like two redfish and one trout and a flounder, combo, the weight combo. We're seeing a lot of that down here. I remember the old days, these fishing tournaments, was the best stringer of 10 trout. God almighty, man.
That's it, baby.
That was crazy.
Bring your meat
10
to
trout,
the scales.
Five reds. It was just like, God almighty. Big ice chest full of fish.
Man, back in, 96 when I started Trout Masters, I caught so much heat over, oh, man, you're killing all these fish. It was three fish per day then.
Uh-huh.
And all the fish
the three
were donated to charity.
Yeah, okay.
We'd fillet all those fish, and we'd donate them. Probably 90% of them went to women's centers, and the other 10% would probably go to, old folks' homes and stuff like that. And and they were going, well, anybody can catch three trout. I said, well, get in a tournament and fish
get
for
the tournament and see what happens.
Yeah, and
yes,
see
sir.
If you can catch your three trout each day.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from really good anglers. Man, if I could just caught one 4-pounder, we'd have won it, Fish
That's
all
it.
Day, and every day you're catching big trout, and the day of the tournament, you can't catch a 4-pounder, But
That's
look
right.
at where we came on the trout stuff. So in the old days, we would bring them in alive in your live well, and we would hold them up for all the pitchers and put them back in the tank and half them were floating.
Those fish didn't have a chance, man.
No, sir. And then you dump the ones in the tank in the marina and the gas fumes and the dolphin eat them, so we've really come a long way in helping our fish,
Yeah.
So we didn't realize. The one that got me is they had this tournament in Port Aransas, and they had this big slide, like a slide chute, that they put the fish in out of this tank, and they put them in the chute, and it would slide down the ship channel. And at the end of the slide, there's about 15 dolphins sitting there with their mouth open, eating all these 5, 6, 7 pound trout. And I'm going,
the chuck wagon's here.
The chuck wagon's here, buddy. It's like a feeding tube. Yeah. So
food trailer
it's really
just cool. pulled up.
Yeah, it's really cool now what they're putting them back where they live, So You know, even though you're going to get some of these people whining about how you're handling them and you're snapping the boga grip on them and you're stressing them and all that, believe me, we're not stressing them now. We used to stress them, buddy. We used to really stress them.
You know? Hey, you going to tell me you're going to catch a trout at 8 o'clock in the morning and throw it in a live well and bring it in at 4 o'clock in the heat of the day and hold it up and take pictures and weigh it in and measure it and all that and put it in their tank and it's going to have a chance? No way in heck, man.
And then when they added the redfish with the deal, you put two trout in a tank with a bottom feeder with all those fins and stuff raking up against him, you know. It's just not good, you know. It's just not good.
Mud apes and trout don't mix good in the live
world. No, they don't. So what they're doing now, they're letting go of the trout and keeping the redfish in the live well. Something to show on the stage that you can hold up and talk about your day for social media, which I understand.
Yeah, but hey, I'm going to tell you, I fished, we had a Redfish Cup tournament over at, in Louisiana there at Bayou Cygnet, and we had to go out and fish. You know, we had to run down this bayou forever before we could get to where we wanted to go, down around Empire or Lafitte or wherever we wanted to fish. And you got your two reds in there in the live well, been in there all day. And you're doing everything you can with ice and, you know, keep oxygen and everything. Mm-hmm. Then you come in, and at the ramp there where we had to put in, then you have to have inspectors check your live well and your fish and measure them and make sure they're not going to be illegal when you get them to Academy in the city there. So we had to leave in a boat, pull all the way to that Academy, wait in land, and then pull up to the stage, unload your fish. Well, the next morning after the first day, we put in to go, run down that bayou to go fishing. Blaine and I were just going, look at all these dead redfish. And they had released them back in there. The shorelines were just laying with all these dead reds, man. I mean, like, you know, they're tough, but they can only take so much. And it wasn't even hot. It wasn't even a hot time of year. So.
Yeah, I think he'd been better off just to flay them, you know, just give them to somebody that they didn't
waste.
That's it. You know?
That's why I did that with Troutmaster. I mean, three fish per person each day, and you know, they donate their catch, and then we fillet them. You know, me and the weigh team, we'd sit up there late in the evening till end of the night and fillet them up, bag them up, and pack them in ice, and then distribute them Monday, you know, after the tournament was over, hand them out.
Oh, you know, and the Parks and Wildlife did the same thing back when the netting was really big here in Laguna Madre. You know, we would back then I would get to go out with my dad and drag for those nets, and they pulled this big rope behind the boat with this big hook on it, and they hooked this big gill net and pull it up, this solid fish, you know. Then they take an ice pick and run around the fish's gills to get the live ones out and let them go, but there's hundreds and hundreds of pounds of dead fish. And they would try, and some of them, they couldn't get out of the webbing. You know, they were so tangled up in there. So they piled up on the boat, and they would call all the, I think, Fish and Lowe's and all this stuff. And they would all meet us at the boat barn, and they would take all those fish, Mickey. It felt so good for, I mean, everything, sheephead, drum, whatever. Those people were so happy to get it. And they didn't care. We did not have to clean them. Those people knew, they were excited about cleaning those fish. You know, they would scale them, eat the whole thing, but none of those fish went to waste. So it made the Parks and Wildlife did a good thing back then. They, instead of just dumping those fish, they made sure they had a home. You know, I like that about that. That was cool.
Yeah, no waste. It's
no waste, but
you
got a lot of people.
Kill the resource, don't waste it.
Yeah. You know,
but it's a good use.
And it was same thing with the deer. But the trouble with the deer is when they catch a poacher or something, that deer been drug all night long. It was not that good.
Well, it was
stuff,
good marinated.
It was grilled. You know, I remember some of the roadkill that the old man drug out of the back of the patrol car. We had to eat. You know, dude, we didn't know how long that thing been dead. But so mom cooked everything really good. You know, she burned
good
it.
Nose. So, you can sniff it out good and go, this is edible. We'll go ahead.
That was good stuff.
We'll go ahead and dress this one up.
But there wasn't a lot of, you know, nobody was doing all that catch and release and stuff now. So, you know, that's really a game changer. Because if we didn't think of how many people we have now, Mickey, if everybody catch 10 trout right now and kept them, can you imagine? I mean, I hate to say that, but take 150 guides over here at these three or four marinas, have all those guys bring in 10 trout a day, twice a day on bait. What's that doing? So,
yeah,
I think, well, it, you know, I think that everybody's
on the
same
numbers,
page.
They add up. You know, I mean, that's kind of what we were going through here. Three's not hurting anything.
No, sir. And, you know, everybody asked me, I know they do. Do you think they'll raise it back to five? I don't know. They may, you know. But I think everybody's kind of getting used to the three thing. So we'll see.
Hell, everybody's real happy now because they can limit out almost every time they go.
That's right. They can say,
that's the name of the game. It's all about limits. I mean, if the limit was one, they'd still be putting them on social media and saying, hey, I limited.
Yeah. Isn't that good to see social media with three or four little trout or like six or seven laying there on like 20 inch trout on the board? Like, why are you posting that?
I mean, man, I see a lot of 15 to 16 inches laid out. You know, we limited.
I understand the big old 30 incher or 28 incher. That's a beautiful fish. You know, let it go in the water. Great
shot
and all
that.
That's
the pictures I like. It's the, I like CPR pictures.
The dead pictures.
Somebody holding up a big fish while they're in the water with it. That's good stuff there. That's quality.
I saw three guys that had nine trout laying on the deck. Says, we did it again. Three days in a row. We did it again. Oh, man. You guys are bad, dude. You guys are bad at the boat.
It's all good, but kind of looking forward to this.
We caught three oversized trout today.
Yeah, three oversized, too big, you know.
Yeah.
But in the, you know, and I'm so glad they put that tag. So if you do catch that 35 inch trout a lifetime, you can burn your tag. But
well, you can bet tag will be going in one like that. I'm killing that fish.
I promise you. And so they're having
that
these
fish
tournaments
on
down
his last
out.
Leg anyway. That fish
it's
is on
right.
the way out. That's
right,
like
Nicky.
Shooting
he's
a 9-year-old
done.
Whitetail. I mean, he's done.
That is
he's
exactly
run his
right.
course.
That's the one you use your tag on. But what was happening down south is a lot of these tournament guys that they're allowed, two or three trout, and they're burning their tag to win the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, they're burning their tag on one over 28 to win the tournament. You know, but that's, you know, I guess they're okay because they can't catch another fish, but I wonder how that's all going to work out in the tournament. If eventually they may have to have it where, hey, man, you can't burn a tag in the tournament or something like that. I don't know how they're going to do all that because they did take it.
Well, that's
they
burned the tournament's call, you know.
Yeah, it is. I guess so, you know. Yeah, man. And one of these days I think they're going to have a tournament where, you know, it's you can't bring the trout in unless you burn the tag over 30 inches. Just have, you know, something like that where, you know, a really – big time tournament. I'm surprised they hadn't had that.
Well, hopefully we can get it back where, you know, the star tournament will have a trout division again.
I know that just killed the fun out of that, man.
I know it's had to hurt their injuries and incentives and everything else because there's not a trout division anymore. Because there's more trout fishermen than anything else on the coast, no doubt about it.
Hey, Mickey, where'd all these trophy trout guys come from in fishermen? There used to be nobody fishing for trophy trout. I would beg people to come down here in the winter because the only way I guess they would duck hunt with me, but we don't fish in the winter until, you know, we started catching those monster trout and then, you know, everybody started getting the big trout wagon. But before, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. You know, the redfish guys were you know. So
you couldn't
anyway,
pay anybody
realize,
to go with you back then.
No.
We're catching all them giant fish in the winter. Nobody would want to go.
But what a great fish a trout is. They're the meanest thing out there, you know?
It is. I've caught a lot of things that swim, and that's still my favorite to fish for, big trout.
When you got guys like me that guys come drive all the way from Florida, you know, 20 hours to fish for trout, and they got giant snook over there every day, and they're coming over here to catch trout, it goes to show you how good trout are. You know, snook are great and everything. They're great, but there's something about a speckled trout. A big trout is really special.
That's majestic. All right, buddy.
It is, buddy.
Well, I got to roll out of here, brother. If somebody wants to call you about coming down, Cliff, give them a number, man.
All right, Mickey. Area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey. Appreciate you, buddy.
Another regular old trout snob, baby. We'll see you, man.
I know what I mean. All right, buddy. Later. Bye.
Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 4 a.m., bright and early, right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.